This is our special edition, our once-a-month edition, honoring the Memphis Roundtable. And this roundtable was formed by the Union of Butterfly Evolution and Subliminal Thought. For those of you who are first-time listeners, Butterfly Evolution does air each Monday night, 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. That is our regular show time. However, we have added the Memphis Roundtable in hopes of bringing awareness to the city of Memphis, the people of Memphis, and anyone from anywhere. So you don't have to reside in Memphis. Actually, we hope that people come on from all over, from everywhere, because if we're going through something here, there, in most cases, other states have gone through it or will go through it or are going through it now. So the more we can unite city to city, state to state, the better we can help one another grow, each city grow. So that's what this show is about. Of course, Butterfly Evolution is about dying to live, moving forward, dealing with your issues, your bondage, those things that we want to kind of ignore and hide from the world. And that's why I was so impressed with the group Subliminal Thought, because as I researched subliminal, it means hidden. And so often the things that we try to hide, those thoughts, the things that we're going through, if we begin to address those things, number one, share them, acknowledge, and then share them with someone else, someone that's in your corner, someone that you know has your best interest at hand and can help you through it or can lead you to someone or an organization that can assist you through getting out of it. I think that's important as we talk about Memphis being the city of the dead. We're going to get into why we feel, our own opinion as to why we feel Memphis has been named the city of the dead. So that's what the Memphis Roundtable is about. Please share this with others. Please kind of put it, we do it once a month, every last Saturday of the month at 5 o'clock, same time. So you guys can join together and make this a group session in your own homes. Look and, you know, determine what we're going to be talking about, do some research, and then if it's something that you want us to add to the list, please feel free to reach out to anyone on Facebook, through the show, and so forth. So in order, if Memphis is considered the city of the dead and any issues that are going on in Memphis, if we're going to be successful in changing Memphis, then we're going to have to pull together. We're going to have to change things we do, change our thoughts. You know, it's okay to go out and do all these things, but if our city and the people within our city are dying, as my personal opinion, I think that they are, and this city is, then we have to pull together and unite in our knowledge and share what we know, share, again, our bondage so that someone can help us through it. It's a process to get to that point. It is a difficult process, but it is a needed process. You have to think about how long it has taken you to get to where you are and how much bondage you've allowed in your life. And once you begin to acknowledge that and move through it, again, it is a difficult process. It's a challenging process. But what keeps me going is looking back and saying, I don't want to end up where I ended up. I don't want to go back where I've been. When I try to do it on my own, I always end up right back in the same place. I always feel like I'm just traveling the same road with a few different signs, a few different people, because some more people have joined me. But it seems like I never would quite get off of that journey or that road. So that's what keeps me going. As a reminder for our first-time listeners, you are able to listen on the chat line, that's providing I do open it up, and I'm going to do that right now. Okay. If you're listening online with us, I just opened up the chat line, so you will be able to send your comments and questions there. If you're listening by phone, which is 818-691-7406, again, 818-691-7406, you can use that call-in number. You do have to select the number 1 in order for us to know that you are online and that you have a question or a comment. Butterfly Evolution has a few housekeeping things. When we do call you in, please be prepared to share with us at least the state that you're calling from. You don't particularly have to give your name, but do provide the state that you're calling from, and then be ready to move quickly into your question or comment. As a reminder, trash can, please remember to move your trash can. Cody is laughing at me. Can't forget to mention this because it promotes change. Move your trash can. I do it with my kitchen trash can. I move it from one location to another. And what it helps me to do is just remember how my mind keeps record of even the smallest things. So often we can get into a routine in the way we think, the way we respond, all those things. And you just don't know how important it is to change your mindset, to change your thoughts. So do that. Do it as a family. And when you go back to its old location, just think about how your mind is keeping record of even the smallest things, which is trash. Your mind will tell you where to go back to throw your trash away. So that is what that is about. What I'm going to do is just allow everybody, we are shorthanded today, so some people are really going to be in trouble after this show. Mama Tammy has spoken. But we are very sure, we were expecting a good number of people, and it's just a few of us. I understand the others are on their way. It's okay. We got it. We got it. So we are the Memphis elite today. We're going to just say hello. Again, I'm Tammy. Butterfly Evolution is my baby, and 901 Butterflies is my baby. And we'll maybe get a chance to tell more about our babies, our individual babies, meaning what we're doing. I guess the men will probably call it something else, but they probably will. But
sure.
The things that we are doing to produce change within our communities, within our city. And so that's what this is about also, just helping you and hoping that you will find something to do. And if you don't want to be over something, then join something. Become a part of something that will help our youth, help our elderly, help our city, our schools. It is something we can do. I understand that the schools had such a difficult time getting people to volunteer for TCAP, which was last week. I understand that it was a struggle for the schools to have proctors. You know, that should not be the case. That just should not be. So let's try to do better. So come here so we can learn better, and then we are responsible because in doing better. Once you become free, there's so much that comes with that. We need to go back. You don't save yourself and not call 911 for somebody that's stuck. So sometimes we have to become 911 for people and go back and help. So I'm going to pass the phone around, and we're going to just introduce, say as much as you want to say about yourself and tell us what you're doing. And then oldest first, Mr. Ebo.
Hey, good afternoon, you guys. Thank you so much for tuning in with us today. My name is Anthony Heron, Jr. I am the founder and CEO of EternalBookOfLife.com. EternalBookOfLife.com is the first place where you can accept Christ 24/7, 365, without the aid of another person. It is a place where you go to grow and develop a relationship with God. Overall, it is a global account of salvation. I was raised on the principle of if you can't say anything good, then don't say anything at all. So I think it's time that we rebuild each other. And the way to do that, what better way to do that, should I say? What better way to do that than to do it with Christ as the head of your life? So we don't Facebook anymore. We Ebo. And that's who I am. I welcome you guys to log in right now. Sometimes we will live stream events like so. However, tonight we're not. We're just broadcasting live on the Blog Talk Radio. So make sure if you don't have that app, get that app, and make sure that you log in to Eternal Book of Life to keep up with us. Thank you so much, and I look forward to your questions and comments this afternoon.
Hello, everybody. My name is Cody Mathis, and this is my first Memphis Roundtable event, and I'm excited to discuss and to at the same time think of solutions. But at the same time, I'm learning that everything starts with yourself. If you want to make the world a better place or if you want to make something better, it all starts with you. It all starts with I. So that's something that I've been practicing or try to practice on a daily basis and doing a lot of self-reflecting so you can become that better change, that better person. And it becomes a continual link because whatever you do or however you think, it does affect your community, it does affect other people. Our actions do affect other people in certain ways, but it all starts with a thought, it all starts with you. So that's something that I try to do on a daily basis, and it's a challenging thing, but it's something that should be done, and that's all I have to say for right now, and I want to pass it on to someone else.
Hi, this is Adrian Segrist. This is my second roundtable session from Subliminal Thought, and I'm a young artist. I do a few poetry and music production of my own, and I'm trying to use these mediums such as art and music and even possibly movie productions to incorporate, you know, the truth. And that's pretty much what Subliminal Thought does, because we know that the corporate world or FCC and mainstream media, they use eye candy and eye-catchy things to incorporate what is superficial and mostly untrue. And what Subliminal Thought would do is to do that the way they do subliminally, but, you know, on a low-key, use the truth in minute forms, and then eventually build that to a head where the public can't deny it, you know. And I myself, I know you have to start with yourself, as Cody was saying. And I have a saying where you conquer yourself, you conquer the world. You know, that's very meaningful, you know, to a lot of individuals. And unknowingly, they pretty much know that's where it starts. And I'll pass it back to Miss Tammy.
Well, we have others coming in, so we're just going to, and let me remind you, this is a very relaxed show. This is a Saturday special edition show, so we know that people are, you know, busy doing their things and trying to get over the end of the week, so we are very relaxed here. We got Bennett and Paul coming in, so we're going to have them say hello and tell a little bit about themselves, and then we'll get into the show. Walk in talking, huh?
Yeah. Hey, this is Bennett Foster from the Memphis Bus Riders Union. Happy to be here.
This is Paul Garner. I'm the organizing coordinator for Homeless Organizing for Power and Equality, and I'm also very happy to be here.
We'll just put it up here, and then everybody can kind of just talk. We just kind of briefly just kind of talked about what we're going to, mainly the City of the Dead, is the one that interests me the most, of course, and the other things on there, but we can just kind of be free with it and talk about it as much. What do you guys have going on as far as any update on the...
Yeah, I guess last time we spoke, we were investigating the rumors that the North End Terminal downtown, the bus terminal, was going to be bought by Bass Pro Shop. Since then, we've spoken to Robert Lipscomb, and the MATA administration, and we've gotten, you know, sort of the same vague answers that we had before, which is, you know, we're not sure what's going on. And then finally we got them to say, no, this is not being planned through email. But so we requested that... you know, it was kind of, but that's how city officials are, you know, they don't want to go on record saying anything if they don't know what's true or not. And so we asked them to post something in the downtown terminal. If it was not true, then they should have no problem with posting a public notice or making a public statement. So we went to City Hall at the last city council meeting and asked for help from the council to get an answer. And then the next day, Hudson posted a notice in the terminal saying that we have no plans of moving.
Yeah, I remember you talking about that. No plans.
Right, so it's more the
plans can change.
Right, yeah, because if you say you're not planning it, then a few months later you can say, well, now we're planning it.
We're planning it, yeah. We weren't at that time.
Right, yeah. So we're keeping an eye on that stuff. And but right now we're kicking into gear with, you know, we've got to save some funding for public transportation from the city budget. It was cut, I think, about 5% last year, and it's going to be cut again this year probably. So,
what does that when they're cutting the budget? Are they cutting? Does that mean they're going to maybe eliminate some bus routes and things like that? What does cutting the budget actually?
Well, it's
how will it affect the city?
It translates into cuts in routes and cuts in just general services like buses and. I think that, you know, it's something we get from the city a lot, you know, cuts in public funding to different things that the public needs that are in the public's best interest. And, you know, so the council has money set aside for all these different things, and there are a lot of people competing for money from the capital improvement budget, so the city makes choices about where they're going to allocate funding, and historically they've paid for public transportation in some capacity, and more recently they've cut, you know, as much as they can, but at the same time the federal government is cutting money to public transit across the country. So MATA got a significant cut there too. And so I'm not sure how it can survive. And so we're just going to have to fight to, at least on the local level, the federal level is something that we're involved with a group called Transit Riders for Public Transit. And they lobby, you know, in DC for more federal funding. But here, we feel like at least here our public officials are more accessible here, and we can fight to keep that city funding too. So we're gonna just keep on pushing for that.
To me, that what that says, and I'm always confused about this cutting the budget and all this stuff going on. You know, I went to the grocery store today, and I'm thinking I could just go out to eat every night. Every all day for what I spend for 2-3 days worth of groceries.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
insane. I mean, and I think about families and families having to ride the bus to get groceries and things like that. You know, if they cut stuff like that, this city, we talk about being a city of the dead, it's going to be alive but in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how much more families can take with stuff like this, you
yeah.
know. And Paul, with you, working so hard with the homeless, you know, if to be honest, we all are really close. We could be really close to being there.
Exactly. True.
I mean, seriously, with the cutting and you think people are going to be out of jobs and people being angry and just disappointed and can't get to the grocery store
mm-hmm.
if they cut buses and things like that. It's just, this city has too much money. This world has too much going on. And to me, cutting all these budgets in all these states, not just Memphis, government is up to something.
Right.
That's just lightly put. That's how I put it. Which goes back to you just better know who you know and know who your source is. Because
yeah.
Well, see, that's the thing. You know, I go back to this unemployment thing, and the unemployment rate is not rising for no reason. It's just my belief that God's trying to wake the people up. The very first thing in my experience with how I've seen God deal with me and just me, the first thing he tries to do when he gets trying to get your attention is he shake your finances. You know, it's a reason for that. You know, people are actually crying to go back to jobs that have them in oppression. That makes no sense. People are crying about the job that they have because it was providing something. It's the same mindset that the children of Israel had when they came out of Egypt. You know, they were in the desert. They were crying and complaining that God left us, he's forsaken us. You know, at least in Pharaoh's house we had pots of meat and wine to drink. God is trying to restore the land. And I bring this up, and I'm not through my own horn, you guys. God is trying to do something through the Talmud Book of Life to restore the land. Now, we all agree that there is too many resources out here, right? All right. Now, just think about this, right? If people start standing up for what they believe in and stand on the principles for which they believe in, companies will begin to do the same thing. Individuals started these companies, but we have allowed businesses to take priority over people. We started to build businesses and forgot to build people. And God's trying to get us to revert back to building each other up. But man had it. The greed of man is what's really got us all in this situation. This is the root of the problem. The root of the problem is that the people of God have to turn back to God, point blank, period. And I know it may seem hard, I know it may sound crazy, but as I say every day, Eternal Book of Life is a testament of my faith. I keep pushing it, knowing. And I put up a video the other day. I don't know if anybody watched it, but basically what I was saying is that, you know, I know that God is with me. I have some footage on here that I haven't showed anyone yet. And I have been debating in my mind that I want to edit it or did I want to leave it in this raw format. Because people need to see that you can be who you are. But at the same time, I still also worry about, I think about making it right so that the audience won't judge me. I'm not concerned whether or not they judge me. I really don't care. Because I'm doing God's will, which is to show love. That's it. And that's what we got to go back to. We got to get back to that model. Because, see, if I love my neighbor like I love myself, then my neighbor wouldn't go hungry. I wouldn't walk past him every day or ride past him every day and not try to pick him up and bring him up in love. You know, it's a way to do everything. People think, you know, yeah, you can correct a person for whatever it is that they're doing, but the truth of the matter is you got to look yourself in the eye. Everybody got to examine their own self. And until we begin to look at ourselves and examine ourselves according to the standard that God has given us, then we really can't help nobody. We can't even help ourselves because we won't even examine our own self. That's what Eternal Book of Life is about.
That's the key when you said you can look at your neighbor and love your neighbor. He's okay because you love him. You're going to look out for him.
Right.
Whereas many people today, when you, especially talking about City of the Dead, they can't love their neighbor because they don't love themselves. They have a real hard time dealing with or finding a way to love themselves. And I can relate to that. And if we all be honest, we probably have been somewhere, some point in time to where you think you've gotten so far away from who you are and what you thought your life would be about until you think, I'm just going to stay here because at least I know here. I know what here is about. But if I try this thing out, then people are going to beat me down. Nobody's going to help me get there. Everybody else, if they look around and everybody else is doing basically the same because what we think we're hiding, somebody sees right through it. So we have to get people to start, like you said, self-awareness. You have to start with finding out what is in with me, what has got me to this point where I don't even like me, I don't even know me, because I'm trying to be this person at work, this person at church, this person at home, this person when I'm out with my friends. When will we just be who we are and say, love me if you can, and if you can't, get out of my way, even if it's through my mess.
Right.
Until I get out of all of this, love me, help me get there. If you can't move, go help who you can. But I need to be able to love who I am before I can give you anything.
Mm-hmm.
And if I give you anything, it's not going to be wholehearted. It's not going to last because I'm just trying to get something off of you and you trying to get something off of me, and we both need somebody else.
And, like, we keep being told by just society, I guess, and, you know, the media and this whole idea that this isn't, it's individualism, I guess. It's like we have to, you know, it's all about who we are as individuals. But I think not just the spiritual connection that we all have, but the material connection. Like, we wear clothes that people made somewhere, and I'm kind of like, you know, I wouldn't exist if it wasn't for everybody else. You know, I can't be myself. I can't, like, have my identity or whatever if it wasn't for someone in a factory somewhere making the shirt that I want to wear and, like, the, you know, the shoes I want to buy or whatever, and even the food I want to eat. Who made that food and how did I get that food? And, you know, like, I mean, it's just, we're so connected, and we can't just think about ourselves. We have to think about how to work together, because we already are together. Like, whether or not we want to admit it, we're all connected,
and so
we have to work together to make some difference.
That's so important to me. What I got to add is saying, you know, we government works for us. You know what I'm saying? That's what we need to start getting. Whatever they put in place that we don't like, we just not give in to it. I mean, seriously, will it cause some trouble? Probably so. You know, no, we ain't paying $5 for a gallon of milk. We're going to pay you $3. You think they're going to lock us all up?
Right.
Nobody gonna buy the milk then.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously. But they put all this stuff in place, and we just like, okay, we can't do anything about it.
That's when it gets worse.
But they're gonna get, it's gonna be $6-$7, and then it's not even $4. You know, you buy Doritos. I'm like, seriously, I just paid $5-$6, and I paid for air. Half of it was for air.
Oh yeah,
it's not $4. Seriously, so I just need to go back there and get the rest of my chips out the other bag, right? Seriously, I'm serious, because it's insane, you know.
And you know, to add on, if maybe half or maybe just 45% of this nation just said, you know what, I'm just gonna stop paying my mortgage. I ain't gonna pay no more credit card bills, and let me just stop paying for all this other stuff that, you know, that they say that we owe them money, like student loans and whatever else. We just going to stop it.
Everybody.
At least
50%, yeah.
And I just wonder what will happen, because, okay, these other places, you know, are they going to make some laws real quickly to be like, okay, they're going to have to do this, this, and this. But then again, it's a whole lot more of us than they are. So, I mean, it's like we really are taking the power back, in a sense. And it's like, but we have gotten to the point, or a lot of people have gotten to a point where they got this mentality of, well, it's nothing we can do about it. You know, let's just go along with the program. And then what I don't like is how we pass the same attitude to the younger people and expect them to act like the older people, which are cowards. And we pass this cowardly attitude, you know, these sorry attitudes on to the younger people. And when they don't follow the coward actions that a lot of older people do, then the older people get mad at them and talking about, okay, you're not doing God's will. Okay, you're getting out of line. You're not acting like the sweet person that we cultivated you up to be. And I mean, and it's time out for all of that. It really is. I mean, I made a decision this week concerning a job that, in a way, it was a mistake, but I decided, you know what, I can't be here anymore, I quit. That might affect my employment or something, but, I mean, if I would have stayed there, I already had a negative attitude when I was there, and if I would have stayed there, it might have gotten worse. So I'm like, nah, let me just go ahead and go on my way and follow my mind and my passion and so forth. So, I mean, it's a sacrifice, I know. But and I know a lot of us are fearful, but we can overcome fear, you know, because fear paralyzes and fear prevents you from continuing to take action. And so it's nothing, I say it's nothing wrong with being fearful, but you should not allow fear to overtake your life and overtake your actions so you become paralyzed and you just become a person that has a cowardly mentality, and you pass it along to your younger people. So it's really it's time out for that. And I'm speaking for myself too. So.
Well, Lawrence, everybody introduced themselves. Do you want to say on behalf of
Brandon out here? Okay, I'm Lawrence. I'm Subliminal Thought, the founder for Subliminal Thought. I've been listening to the conversation that's been going around the table, and I think that most people, especially the general public, have to realize that we're really going against the top 2% who are the wealthiest people in the country, and that's the reason why we're oblivious to the milk going up so high or being the problems that exist. We don't have a way to solve them because people don't understand that these are the people who actually got the hand of our society and how things are produced and how much they cost. These are the things that prevent people from us coming together because we understand that these are the forces that got these things. I think this is a good time for us to come together and talk about this.
Okay.
And like Cody was saying, it's not to be fearful of anything. We have to go and operate in love. And if we operate in that, it'd be easier for everybody to come together and realize what forces we're against. Because if people are ignorant of what enemies we're against, how can you do better? How can you change? So I think through conversation and dialogue, we get together and we fix those problems.
Yeah.
And I also want to add this, too. And this is a question that I pose. When did this country ever become just totally united on everything and for everybody? Because it seems as if you look at the history of this so-called country or this corporation in legalistic terms, it's always seemed to have been mostly a wealthy class or some aristocratic group of people telling everybody else what to do and forming their opinions and forming how they should think. And they put out all this propaganda about how all, you know, we're a great nation. What does that really mean when, you know, unemployment is at this and it's hard to do certain things? That's just simple. You know, it's just living. I'm not talking about making $1 million. I'm not talking about living in a big mansion. I'm just talking about just simply living and taking care of your family and yourself. And what I'm saying is, and with that question is, we should really understand, interstand, and overstand what system and what we're really dealing with. If we don't understand and interstand and overstand what we're dealing with, then we're not going to get ahead. And I like to be proactive. I'm learning that it's best to be proactive. Sometimes it might be best to be reactive, but I like to be proactive mostly because I want to learn, I want to study, I want to research what we're really dealing with so we can plan much better ahead and deal with these things. But at the same time, it starts with you. A person has to make the determined decision that I want to move forward, I want to do this thing, and go from there. But we really have to be honest about this country's history and what has transpired, because if we really think that certain events that have taken place in this country, like the Great Depression or anything that's dealing with any type of economics, do we really think that was all by accident, or could it have been that it was all planned, but the propaganda was put out to be like, well, this was an accident because, you know, this had happened, that had happened, but could it have been on purpose, you know? And just looking at the capitalistic system, naturally it is not meant to take care of everybody.
Right.
We need to be clear on that.
Yeah.
This whole capitalistic system is only to make a certain group of people rich and make everybody else just so-called below them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if people can argue with me and say, well, capitalism can work for everybody, well, if that's the case, when in history did that work for everybody, for one, and then two, if it was to really work, then everybody, the decisions that's being made on the money that we have in our wallets, because we don't control our own money, we think it's our money, we need to, the decision needs to be made upon that everybody has equal opportunity, and there is no poor person around, but because of people's greed, because the folks wanted a whole lot of money, a certain group of people, that's not going to happen unless some big change occurs. But, I mean, that's we have to really examine these things and be proactive and know what we're really up against.
Yeah.
Well, with the current system in place, I believe, like what you were saying, the top 2%, which is the group that you're alluding to, that pretty much controls much of the economy, and everybody else is just below that. You can split it up to middle class, lower middle class, whatever you want to say, but the point is that there's a top 2% and there's everybody else. So within that, everybody else has to come together because they outnumber greatly the top 2%. So if people become educated and talk about these things, that's what I'm saying, and understand how to operate each other in love, then we can combat that top 2%. I mean, you go out and blast them and say, hey, we understand that you're raising prices on food, gas, such and such, you know, but you go out and say, okay, we understand that these problems exist, and we're not going to take it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
If the people don't speak, then nothing will change.
Right, right. And if we don't unite and speak and start having these type of meetings all over, I mean, not just maybe in Cordova, and maybe like have town hall meetings within your areas,
right,
to where we can come together later, and unite and say, hey, nobody can afford to go to work today because we can't pay for gas.
Exactly.
So the city of Memphis is shutting down. You know, I mean, just think of that alone. But you can't get people to do that on a job seriously, I said, yo, this place does not exist if we don't come here tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
But that, well, no, I got to pay my bill. Really?
Right.
Seriously.
They don't get it.
Did you hear what I said? This place does not exist if we collectively
don't show up.
Or if we show up and say, we're not going in until you listen to us.
Yeah. Did you see
and
the,
make changes?
Speaking of, yeah, of like general strike and people uniting, I know Memphis United is also putting together the May Day event on International Workers' Day on May 1st. And
which was
working on a flyer for it. Right,
yeah.
Where is that going to be?
It's going to be at First Congregational Church. It's 1000 South Cooper. And Memphis United was, a lot of us were involved in this room, we're involved with that group. Came together to put on an alternative event, and the Klan came to Memphis and turned out 1,500 people to that event. And, you know, so
in the rain.
You know, just like the things you were talking about, all these opportunities where the community can come together and show solidarity, and, you know, only when we can start organizing can we be a force that can challenge the power of, you know, the people who are in control as well as the strings. The only way we can cut those strings is with one big pair of scissors that we're all in.
We're all right.
The Teamsters, which you've got the yard sign out, which I'm really happy to see, with the Teamsters Local 984, which represents the sanitation workers in the privatized sections of Memphis, where the city doesn't oversee, the city doesn't have public workers doing the pickup. So that's Republic and Allied Waste are the companies that contract with the city for that. And so they went on strike a couple weeks back, I guess it was last Monday. And it was interesting because this time, the first day, I think the city workers, you know, of course, whenever this happens, the city workers are told to come pick up that trash and take it to the dump. And this time, the city workers were respecting the picket line for the first day. And I think maybe the couple days after that, they started crossing the line because the supervisor was saying, I'm going to fire all of you if you don't. You know, and you know, come, you know, cross the line. As the Teamsters were on strike, they're saying like, no, don't cross. This is your battle too, because eventually they're going to privatize all your jobs. And you're not going to have any way to, you know, hold the city accountable because then it's a corporation, and it's much harder when that happens. But I just think it's interesting. It's like they were, you know. And the only news that you see about it is these residents and, like, Harold Collins coming out and saying he's going to sue Republic because he doesn't think that if the Teamsters should be able to go on strike, that shouldn't be in their contract.
and because all these people's trash is piling up, and the people are just saying, I don't care what they're fighting for, I want my trash picked up. And it's kind of like, you know, it goes back to that, just like, it's my individual experience is more important than everything else.
Right.
And but, you know, something like trash is something like we all need, and it should be a service that is, we have enough money in America that we can pay for workers.
Pay them a decent,
we can have, we can pay
wage,
them a living wage. We can pay everybody.
To
yeah. That, yeah. And so, you know, it's a shame. But
yeah.
All they're fighting for is to keep their pensions program, I think. So.
And why would, why, in this world today, why would anyone need to fight for that?
I'm wrong, too. That's wrong. They're not only fighting for their pensions. They're also fighting because they get money just comes up missing from their paycheck.
And
like,
at least one of their grievances is unsafe working conditions.
Yeah, it's one of the, it's like the fourth most dangerous job in America or whatever. And I think, like, they're talking about unsafe working conditions. The trucks are all breaking down. So, you know, stuff happens that shouldn't be happening because they don't pay, because the company doesn't even pay. The company will pay their own CEOs.
Probably.
Yeah.
Big figures.
I think Bill Gates is like a part owner of the company. So that just tells you something about how much money he thinks he can make from this.
And how much more money people up there at the CEO level, at the top, how much more do you really need?
Right.
I mean, how much more and what else can you buy that you are using?
Right.
When you just lose sight of humankind, humility,
right.
and just being there to make sure somebody has somewhere to sleep,
that's
you know,
sort of the sort of like weird psychology of, you know, what happens when your whole pursuit is driven by the pursuit of profit. And I mean, the system that we live in encourages that, but I think it probably drives you crazy too. You know, I don't know how anybody could be happy. Not, you know, making more money than they could ever spend.
A lot.
But it's because I think, like, what we're told is that, you know, wealth is represents and signifies your identity. And so, you know, the clothes we wear, the, you know, we know, like, consumerism, and we associate a certain amount of value with certain brands. And so if you're wearing that brand, you're automatically treated different. And we know this,
yep.
Like,
yep.
You know, depending on what you're wearing. Just going to the gas station, you're bombarded with ads, ads, ads. marketing, marketing, marketing.
Yeah.
And you drive down the street, it's everywhere. Like, logos are everywhere. They're throughout every day, you know, live. We're surrounded by it.
Right.
Like, attempts to get us to sell a little bit more of ourselves, you know?
Yeah.
It's a shame, but it's a hard thing to fight. I think, like, that's one of the cool things about what, like, street art and different types of art can do is kind of challenge those, you know, those messages and tell people something different,
yeah.
You know?
Think about all the time that, all the time that, like, just driving down the street, you know, you may be thinking about something in your life that's going on or whatever and spending time reflecting on something, but meanwhile, you're bombarded by billboards constantly and the radio, and there's, you know, it's constant advertising, which I think kind of seeps into, like, what you're saying. Yeah. Yeah, they want you to spend most of your time thinking about what you need to buy, what you need that you don't have that you got to get.
Yeah, you know, that's predicated upon that type of radio station that they're on to.
Right.
You know, so they're getting paid, so they're only going to put out what they're getting paid to put out.
Mm-hmm.
If you ain't paying to put it out, they're not going to put it out. They're not going to put it out because it's right. They're going to put it out because they're getting paid to put it out. And those are the kind of relationships that, you know, me personally, I don't want to have any parts of. Because, you know, when you get in the mindset it's all about the money, then you lose focus. You lose focus of the original intent of the whole entire transaction itself when it becomes predicated upon money. So, that's why, you know, and what you're saying, we have to come together. When we do decide to come together, it's going to be so great. People are just, I think it's my opinion that people are afraid of that because they don't know if you're serious. That's why you just got to get serious. Each person has to get serious for himself.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has to decide that this is what I'm going to do. I've made up in my mind, trying to life is just a living. I mean, I want some other things, like God has given me some other things that I can be profitable in.
Mm-hmm.
But Eternal Book of Life is it for me. Why? Because, you know, not only is it going to reward me while I'm here, but it's going to leave a lasting legacy for everybody that's involved with it. And more so than that, man, God is storing. Every time that I'm doing what God asked me to do, then he's storing up something for me in heaven. In Revelation, it tells me that God's going to pay us back even eternal life for everything that we did. You know, when people say, you can't go to heaven by your acts, now you're not going to get there by your acts, but you will be judged according to your acts. That's the difference. So, you know, it just would do my heart great to see people do it all in the name of God. I'm doing it. It don't matter. I want my brothers and sisters to come with me, but I'm going to do it regardless.
Well, in response to what you're saying, I think people in general, I personally believe that first people should see God first. And then what you, another thing you were saying, stepping out to be themselves, because once you do that, you're fine. I mean, most of the time people think to themselves, well, if I do this, people are not going to understand me, or nobody's going to want to do the same thing. But oftentimes when you're that rare individual that steps out, like I stepped out, I found you, I found him, you know, you found people who have a similar heart and mindset. So I think that's the fear, that's the trick behind it. You trick yourself into saying, okay, I'm too different, or what I'm trying to do isn't that important. But once you actually make that initial first step, you know, and get out there into society, you'll find other people just like you to bring about that change that you want to see.
And you have to, once you take that initial step, again, people think that it's going to, they expect it to instantly happen. Just like when if you decide to follow Christ, whatever your take is, they think everything is instantly taken care of. It doesn't. What is instant? Nothing. I mean, everything has a process. So whatever you do, it's that people jump in and they, and then all of a sudden, you stop. And when you stop, okay, you just are going to get to a point where you're going to have to start that process again. So why not keep going? Keep moving forward.
Like I tell people I talk to, they be like, you know, I be like, man, y'all so worried about what you're doing on this earth, you know, what you got in your pocket, what car you drive, you worry about the wrong things. You know, if you want to go to heaven, what you got on earth, you shouldn't be worried about. As long as you eating, you says, he's taking care of the birds, the worms, and he's feeding all this out there where you feel like how they're eating, and they fat, full.
They're serving their purpose.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
That's
their
nature.
We get to serve our own gods with everything. But just like with people with money. You know what I mean? My pastor said the other day, he was like, God didn't say he would be with the rich always. He said, the poor, I would be with you always because your heart is better. People got money, they feel like they don't have to wash their own car or have to wash their own dishes or don't have to thank God for nothing because they make it. They dirt. I'm good. He gave me this, but just like he gave it to you, he can take it away and then your end result is where you feel like you think you're going. You might not go there. You know what I mean? Because he know your heart. That's why I say with people, like I dealt with the radio stations before when I was throwing pods and everything. You can get on there and say you're going to kill the whole country as long as you're giving that bit money for your slots.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it once you see like high power like that, when they see, they almost go off the system of manipulation. Like you got to do all the work and all they got to do is come put their name on it, sort of a stamp. Where they, okay, this is what you're doing. Yeah, I'm doing something. You know what I mean? You really ain't doing
right,
that. You just on the shoulder of this guy that's doing it, but you fronted with your money.
Right.
Now, it's just like drug money putting in a business.
Right.
You know, that's what you're doing.
Right.
You know what I mean? So you ain't fooling nobody but yourself, but God see through that. But we can't see what you're doing, because we hear him just like you.
Right.
But we got the mind to see through it once you show us something. But that's why I say, you know,
but we bought into that. I mean, and it goes back to that. Society has bought into that, and they want. They don't have time to think, you know, the radio, the TV, the internet, everything. And we were talking about TV used to go off at you. Your mind had to settle. You know, I've noticed since doing the show Distraction, I make myself stop. I give myself time to think about what's going on in my life, who's in my life, what's working and what's not working. But so often this world keeps us going so we don't have time to even see what's going on. What do we need to work on? So to get back to the city of the dead, can I ask you a question about the homeless? Do you know about how I know there's probably no real way to know, but what would the number of, what would you guess
in
Memphis?
In the metro areas, probably close to 1,000 in the metro area.
It ain't even, okay, so y'all trying to, okay, somebody won't come to Memphis and buy the Redbury estate.
But it's,
okay, but y'all won't spend money to buy it. But like you said, 1,000 people,
right.
you can't buy an old building.
They don't have to buy one, they got them.
I'm just saying.
what's your definition of homeless? This is like,
well, I guess you think
the people who are chronically homeless that are out on the streets that have been,
that
on the street and they opt, you know, like, or they in and out of the shelters. And then there's people that kind of just barely live on the edge, live in a rooming house that's really expensive.
So they're
like,
not counted in the actual count. So,
and, you know, they end up crashing with friends. There's a lot of youth that are in that situation, you know, so.
So 1,000 is just
the
people who are chronic.
Whatever number we put on it, it's higher than we can, yeah.
And
like you were saying earlier, most folks are one or two paychecks away from being in a situation like that if they aren't already. And, you know, I think, you know, there is a pretty loose definition. Somebody said one time, you know, if you don't have the deed to your house, then you're homeless. You know,
exactly.
The guy from the Poverty Initiative in New York City. And, you know, I think just like we're talking about getting together as community organizing, I think, you know, what we try to do with HOPE is get the folks that are the most affected by that situation, and they've come together and are organizing around those issues. And that's, you know, like you're saying, what do we do? What do we work on? What's important? You know, I think if we look at our lives and figure out what issue, you know, affects us the deepest and just focus on that primarily, then, you know, you can, just like y'all are doing with Subliminal Thought and what you're doing with Butterfly Evolution, you've, like, started something, like, you're a part of something, you know, people are organizing, and that's a really positive thing in the midst of all of this, like, you know, just almost absurd, like, tragedy of the system that we live in, where, just like you're saying, they can spend all this money on the pyramid downtown, or spend all this money on the
Redbirds Day and we're on some big fancy development project, but there's people, you know, that
just like
start on the street that we're walking across, you know?
Right. There's like, I mean, there's plenty of foreclosed homes, empty buildings. There's more. There are more empty homes out there than there are people living on the street.
What
yeah,
you were saying
exactly.
about people stop paying their mortgages. I mean, the city owns so many vacant properties that they don't want to deal with. That they don't want to even admit that they have. You know, they don't even know they have some of them. You know, if everybody stops paying their city property taxes, what are they going to do? What would they do?
Well, you know, shut the city down?
Because they don't want your house, the city. I mean, you might still have to pay your county.
With a lot of major cities, I guess Memphis is trying to be like quote unquote modernized city. They put more value in the property than the people. So
because it's money.
Yeah, yeah. Just like 201. How can y'all be broke when every day hundreds of thousands of people walking through their door?
Yeah.
You need to give
them. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you play budget.
Yeah.
How can you be broke?
Jessica will wrap around upstairs and go down there like, God, see, I'm going back at 1. And I got to be at 1. I'm trying to go early.
Right.
Oh, man, you got to wait. I'm waiting for 2-3 hours in one court. Ain't even no judge in there. You know, you got your peers in there. Oh, okay, man, just go through that. But it ain't like it used to be. Like it used to be, you get dismissed. You don't have to pay courthouse. Now, you beat it or not beat it. Go around there and pay that $8. $81. Pay like $100, you know. Yes. So how we broke?
No, extortion.
And,
right.
You know what I mean? Yeah, correct.
And you know, just to keep in mind that according to the Black Law's Dictionary, and I told some of you all this, I've looked it up, a court is just a bank. They're just there to make money. So I do question this whole thing about, especially when I think of 201 Poplar here in Memphis. I mean, it's like, what is this thing called justice, really? I mean, and the court is a bank. They're just trying to make court. I mean, from the general court to the criminal court in 201. I mean, it's about their money, people. I mean, and of course, if that's just, I'm just adding that on to say that yes, it seems this city does have money, but they want to put out this propaganda that oh, you know, we don't have no money. This is a trip. Like they'll say we're gonna shut down some libraries in certain parts of Memphis, and but we'll leave the other parts alone. But that vacant historic building off on South Main, we gonna get $2 million.
Yeah.
Oh, Elvis Presley Boulevard, Grayson, we'll give them $4 million. Oh man, but we got to cut these children's programs, y'all. I mean, we just got much money.
We got to close this school down.
Yeah.
Then walk 15-20 minutes to the next school across an 8-lane highway. Let their mama do it.
But how much to beautify Elvis Presley? Beautification.
And let me just say this. I'll just be blunt about this. If it's something for so-called black folks or Negroes or whoever, then they ain't important, but if it's something for a white person or Caucasian or European, it's a done deal.
Well, that's why you got to think about who founded the city. The folks who, the Rockers, the Crumps, the all these long streets, the Winchesters, them folks, they was the city. So it's like you, this ain't like the Constitution, or, you know, how we supposed to follow the Constitution, like laws. They set these presidents in the city.
It was John Overton, think about Overton Park, James Winchester, Andrew Jackson.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Jackson Avenue.
You gotta think about
Winchester.
Exactly.
So all the streets that like a lot of four people of color live
right.
on there named after all the old white guys.
Well yeah, because
right.
that after yeah. Because then they had a they develop all this land so that they can live here and make money off of selling cotton
yeah.
on the river,
said Memphis became
and then all the people,
market.
All the people who were picking cotton, had families, and then they, and then you know, and then they grow out into the areas where the white people live, and then all the white people pack up and move out somewhere else. But now, and it's funny, and now white people come back and try to gentrify, which gentrification is like you're talking about. It's like gentrification is making a neighborhood acceptable to white people. So like. when people hear gentrification, white people hear, oh, this is good. Like, there was
that article.
Yeah,
that
article in the Memphis Flyer.
Like,
yeah.
Gentrify my neighborhood, please.
Yeah. And it's like,
this white guy, like, that lives in Crosstown, and he's talking about, like,
I would love to have an organic grocery store and a gym, and you know, it would be really great.
But
and it's like
more the fact that like the people who live in that area now that live there because the you know they can afford to live there now are just going to get booted out when the property values go up.
Yeah,
and
the rent goes up.
Rent goes up,
and all the stuff they put in that community is too expensive for the people who live there to buy. So it's like, okay, so who do you want to live here?
Right.
Oh, I see.
Most of them can't go to shop at Whole Foods.
Because
like, you
know. I remember I was in a part of town where they have no grocery store. South Mesa, we hear the thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm over somebody's house, like, man, you know, I ain't got no bread. Okay, cool, I'm going to get some bread. Man. I gave everybody $5, I got like $1.25 back for some bread. It's double, almost triple, because they know, okay, one, if they got a car, they might not afford to put gas to go all the way over here to the gas station.
Oh, yeah.
So, bam, they going to double your money right here. Convenience ain't nothing, but it's just like opening up a hole in the ground and they telling you, it's a shortcut this way. You know what I mean? It might be 5 more minutes. Oh, man, we'll go this way. 10 people in over. It's just a group of us that took that extra 5 minutes. You see what I'm saying? So they got a lot of, Miz got a lot of marketing. You know, it's a lot of underhanded stuff that we don't know about because our generation, our age, our values are different.
Yeah.
We don't want to know about it. Like now, I tell somebody about who found the Miz. Man, you don't know what you're talking about. You know what I mean? But you got a smartphone, so get smart. I don't need a smartphone to get smart about that. I just know because I want to know for myself.
Right.
Now, you might tell me, and I'd be like, man, that sounds good, man. But I might want to believe. But me knowing who I am and what I do, I'm going to believe you at the moment because there's new information that I'm receiving in, okay?
But look it
researching
up.
And listening up. So the next time I talk to you, when we had that broader conversation about it, I got more to talk about.
Yep.
And then, you know, go ahead.
Man, convenience stores conveniently placed in the urban neighborhood to suck all the money out of the community. And sort of put. Now, in my area, man, you can drive up the street and you can see, as soon as you turn out, we got a grocery store, right? Man, it's open in the convenience store, though, it just don't make sense, but all that was put as a mechanism to suck all the money out of the community, actually, ARABs?
Yeah.
I know,
because they don't make that.
They come into the community, and they figured out how to get over, too. They come get a grocery store,
change all the time.
you know, I did that. I went in the store, I hit a dollar, and it was a dime, in the bank. I put $16, man, went over there and emptied it.
Where people can relate to why maybe Memphis has become, it is the city of the dead. I'm going to say city of the dead because I basically feel like people are just walking dead here today. That we have lost people. We haven't heard a lot from you and you either. So
the Census Bureau has ranked Memphis as the poorest city in the United States.
Poorest city in the United States.
That's a book
about
right
wow.
there.
Wow, wow, wow.
I thought it was wonderful. What
do you think
about
this is Brandon. You tell him because he didn't introduce yourself. So.
Brandon Shaw, co-founder of Subliminal Thought. We were talking about the City of the Dead concept of Memphis. You think about cemetery, and it's like it's a bunch of statues. There's no, you don't see anybody physically. You can think of Memphis that way. It's a whole bunch of like, buildings, new buildings being created, a bunch of new stores being made, you know, renovations being made in Midtown, renovations being made in different parts of the city. The problem is people are walking around with no guidance. It's like it's a loss. It's like people, besides the people who are organizing, people who are lost as far as like living their day-to-day lives. They have no, I'll say,
direction.
Right. They have no direction as to what's right, what's wrong. They're looking for, I guess, the president, the higher-ups to tell them, to define them what justice is. The problem is we have to define all of those things. What's justice? What's peace? We have to be the living example. Once it's like, you think about it, it's the city versus the people. We are not Memphis yet. We are just trying to rebuild it.
Mm-hmm. You got to look at it like this. Memphis to me is like a box with 10 numbers. Like a lottery. If you in that, no matter if you number one or number 10, it's all recycled. I'm just do it like this. Merrill Ward, first he was a Shelby County mayor, right? Harrison was the Memphis mayor, okay? The other people don't want Harrison there no more. They ready to go on, push their agenda. Right, so you got Luxor, the over the jails in the city. His wife, it's on the board of one of the places that took over food, took Airmark, you know what I mean? Now they run the jail. Okay, we let you build this up how you want to build. After that, we want you to run for the mayor of Shelby County. So now you become the mayor. Who's going to change your agenda that you sit in the jail, no matter what conditions that they feel like they want to change? You the mayor now. So, Warden, we want you to go to Memphis. We want you to run this, okay? You see what I'm saying? It's a circle. If you in that circle, but you got to sell yourself to get in. Because I don't want to get too off subject, but or too deep into it, because we over the airway, you know what I mean? But at the same time...
Tell me, I said.
Well, you know...
I mean, really, we need to get
people, a lot of people don't know the history of why people in the position that they're in. Memphis is like a... You scratch my back,
they fell out.
I scratch your
they
back.
They fell out.
Right. So, to go back to a little history on our mayor, you know, Mayor Warden, the reason why he there because they gave him a faith. His son that he adopted had a rape charge with another color. Okay. Y'all scratch my back by not putting a charge on his jacket, by not locking him up, by not doing this. So when I become where y'all want me to be, your agendas, I'm going to push. I'm going to push them because I owe you now. I owe you now. Why you think Judge Joe Brown, he ain't on TV no more now. He won't come back and run for mayor.
Yeah,
you
I heard
know
about
what I'm saying?
That, right?
Because, but you know what? He ain't going to, if Carol Chumney didn't win, who else going to compete against him? Because what? Who he got? He got the power behind him.
But see, people chase, and he will get the votes because just of who he is and his name. People don't want to know what, they really don't care. Just put, if they go vote, if they vote, and if they do, if he, and that's a whole nother, but even the ones that can will sit back and say, it doesn't matter anyway. Well, if it doesn't matter, vote. If it doesn't matter. May be right, you may not be, but people will go and Judge Joe Brown, I mean, I don't know a lot about him, but just because of his name, they will go vote for him. Not try to figure out what you are about Who are you? What do you plan to do? And then when you get there, I'm going to make sure you do what you said you was going to do, or we're going to get you out of there.
Come on, Jerry.
You know?
Yeah, you find out all kinds of things when it comes to voting or anything, because with President Obama, I take it to that level, but when you think about it, everybody, the first time he got elected, especially all the black people, like,
said,
oh, my God.
We just walked out the door. It was November the 4th.
Yeah.
Oh, we had to go vote. But we ain't looked at no debates. We ain't followed nothing, but I was saying, we had to go vote.
And a lot of them didn't, a lot of people didn't vote. A lot of black people did not vote either, y'all. If you just really... Think about
talking about like the things he said he was gonna do.
Yeah, he didn't keep his word. Like the people, and when he got reelected the second time, I was surprised at how many people didn't even keep up with his first term. To see that how many promises he didn't keep, you know. And that's the point with the mayor. If he's a puppet, people are not looking at the understory. You know, they're looking at the surface story that's presented and not getting the facts they really need to get the true idea of who they really giving their money to.
Because I guarantee you, more people come out speaking their mind against what they know but don't want to say, things will start happening. People are like, okay, well, they figuring us out after 200 years. They getting smart, you know, like they did with Malcolm X and Muhammad Ali. Now, go ahead and shut them up.
But see, my point to that is, you guys, they work for us. So what happens up there is what we allow.
Right.
At the end of the day, it is what we sit back and allow.
So what you're telling me is that we have not collectively set a standard.
We have not collectively did anything.
But, we have to define these things. We need to be in these meetings
saying, hey, I represent Butterfly Evolution. I represent Subliminal Thought. I represent EO, Eternal Book of Life. I represent... You represent so much. But y'all get my drift. And say, I'm here as one, but I have 100 more people behind me, but just behind me. I have 100 more just behind me. And we'll bring all of them if we need to. We could call one person and the triggering effect starts that, hey, nobody go to work tomorrow in Memphis. Hey, nobody go. Even if 100,000 people don't go, they hear us then. They say, wait a minute, who is Subliminal Thought? Who is Butterfly Evolution? Now, we might have to strap up, seriously. We might have to stand guard. But, hey, we sit at a dead. We could get robbed walking out the door. That's what I'm saying. So it's how much do you want change, and what are you willing to do for it?
Like he said, we're the poor city. That's how they hold it up, hold against us.
But we're the poor city. Where do we have to go from here? What do we have to lose? Where do we have to go from there?
You know, that brings. I've been privileged to be around the music industry and things of that nature. Don't you know that mostly all the hip hop, rap artists, all of them come through Memphis? Has anybody noticed that? Yeah. You know what? They do that to set the tone. If you can make it in Memphis,
you can make it anywhere.
And that's how a lot of artists get their big go. Why? Because they come in, and guess what? You got the promoters, you got the radio stations promoting ignorance, promoting stupidity.
Who's listening to it, though? Who's buying it for their children? Who's letting their children download it? You know what I'm saying?
That's the whole thing.
Gets back to the city of the dead. That gets back to all this stuff that we are allowing. You got. That's what I say. Before we get to Harrington, Warden, all that, what are you allowing in your house? What are you doing in your house as a parent? Whatever. I mean, before you can go out and probably go over there and say, hey, your daughter is not going to school, the little boys come as soon as you walk out. If I'm letting my daughter do the same thing over here. But I have a duty to go and say, look, this is what's going on.
Right.
You know, but we don't care. The parents, it used to be a time where as a mama, it didn't matter if daddy was here or not. You're going to do what I say. But the women are chasing the men. The men are, hey, you caught me. Do what you want to do, and I'm going on. And that's okay. That's acceptable. So when you talk about the city of the dead, we got to start in our households and then unite for things homeless, for bus riders, for me as a woman saying, hey, to my sister, no matter the color, you got to do better. You got a young girl looking at you. You got a young man looking at you.
It's a stronghold. It's a real stronghold for folks in Memphis.
People say that there is, I don't know if somebody said this before, that if you had noticed, George Myers, no T.D. Jakes, no all those people that go on religious seminars.
Mm-hmm.
When have we had one come here? Was that the group? I don't know if we talked about this last time, but somebody brought that up.
The only power guy that we had, like a T.J. Jakes, was Bishop Patterson.
Well, he lived here.
Right, but that's
but fans don't come in for deliverance. And they said that even they say they don't want to come here because we have a dark cloud over. That's what I don't know that to be true, but I know I've not heard of one coming here to do the Bible. Because that's why they should want to come for deliverance.
They can't make any money off people.
Exactly. If we broke it for them, they can't feel up.
They're not going to support it.
Right. She can put it off.
Yeah, exactly.
But some of them do it free. Joyce Myers, most of her stuff is free. Some of her things are free.
She just.
It's probably free to get in, but you got to pay to get the book or the DVD or whatever. It's like if they don't see any profit coming out of Memphis, then they're not going to come. A lot of bands don't come here because of that. Like a lot of, and I know, you know, like there are clubs that close that say all the time, it's like, you know, well, we couldn't get anybody to come play here because they want to charge $15, $20 a ticket and nobody's going to come out to see that show. I mean, it just goes back to poverty. I mean, we won't solve poverty until. And actually, I hope people start paying attention to more local elections, like not just when every 4 years to vote for president, but like who's coming up on the school board and for sheriff, and you know, I mean, all these things are all these elected officials. Those are the people that. I mean, that, you know, we vote them in and we can vote them out, and if once we realize that, then I think we can actually change some.
Yeah, they're also the people we can most easily put collective pressure on because they're right
here. They live here, they work here, and we can go downtown and say, you know.
We can organize in our community rather than just directly affect all.
Go to a house.
And see, that's what I would like to do.
Yep.
You know,
all
kinds
of stuff.
Right. That's what I would do as a group and come together for a cause. Say if it's homeless. And as a group, Memphis United, Butterfly Evolution, and whoever follows who, say, okay, here we are. Let's get it going here. But to send one person or 10 people, you know, how much, they don't look at that. They don't look at 10 people. They're not threatened by 10 people, 20 people.
You know, I need to say this right away. As we do these things, and I'll use Occupy Memphis as well. I just use the Occupy movement, period, as an example. As much as I was liking him, you know, going out to Wall Street and doing all the Occupy and so forth. I knew the legal system was going to kick in, and especially here in the state, and especially here in Memphis, where they passed that law that you know you cannot camp out any perimeters. Yada, 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 and they made that into a law. The point that I'm making is that I know this. We should, as a collective, really as an individual first, do some research on the legal system and to really learn what they know, because whatever we do, they're going to try to find a legalistic way to shut us down. And there are ways to manipulate, well, I ain't gonna say manipulate, but to legally do things that's on our behalf and that's for the betterment of us. But like they're not going to they're not just going to listen to us. Be like, okay, well, we'll do this. They'll try to pass some type of law, and they're going to try to use the legal system to the best of their ability, because a lot of us are ignorant of the legal system, and we're ignorant of certain terminologies that they use and how they pass laws. And if we don't research that and try to and know what they know about that, then just I think just like what happened with the Occupy movement, it's going to shut down. because that's what the folks did. They just used a legalistic move on him, and then he just shut down.
I mean, they did that back in the day of Martin Luther King. Now, they arrested, but hey, some things got passed.
Yeah.
And that's what it comes to. What do you believe in, and how much are you willing to do?
If you're not planning anything, you are already
lost. Yeah, so and what do we have to lose?
No one is half the battle. If you got a plan, at least you got a strategy. Without strategy, you can't move forward. All of these things we're talking about, I hear challenges. I hear challenges, and I still present the solution. That eternal book of life is that place that we need to begin and go to unite. It's not about. It's about taking our people back. Listen, you guys, I am 100% owner of my company, and I did it so that way so that it would remain righteous. I'm just a guardian, and I tell people that, people are like, you have a baby, but it's just about, yeah, I'm a guardian. There are people in this immediate place right now that have place. This is the plan. We keep God first, and we move forward. That's the plan. I mean, we could talk about the challenges and the solution. The issue at hand, at the bottom of that underlying point is that we all have to have some kind of spirituality, some spiritual recognition, just learning to be our brother's keeper, period, point blank. And until we all establish that, then there's going to continue to be turmoil in the land because we're moving, but we're not doing so under God. And that's the one thing we got to do. We got to move forward in the power of God and knowing. Yeah, it's things, like I tell you guys, it's things that just being right here today, like, had I not moved, I wouldn't have been here. But I trust God.
God. We got so many churches here, but we don't even understand what our purpose for here.
Because
we got more churches
than gas stations. Right. Because, we've been taught, go to school, graduate, go to college, get a good job, and retire. But nobody has taught us, hey, what is it that you really like? Nobody has sat down and asked that question. So what we began to do is our parents lived through us, or I don't know how you say it, but basically we began, like Coach had said before, we began to live our life according to what somebody else thinks, instead of us taking the time out to understand us. I ask people, what are you passionate about? And you know, more than half the people that they can't even tell. Now, I'll tell y'all this. When I was going to school, to be an attorney. Why? Because I was driven by a particular event that happened, that transpired to my uncle while I was, you know, a young guy, well, before I was even born. But ask me if I want to be an attorney now. I like to debate, but all the legal, I don't want to talk to. However, I still want to be in the know about how the system works, which is why I have still educated myself about the proper rules and procedures of Tennessee court, Arkansas court, because those are courts that within our local area.
We in the South.
Exactly. So we have the chance of coming into to contact with, so, you know, I try to keep myself up on things like that. But other than that, man, you know, I think we really got to decide that this is what we're going to do and do it. It's not no thinking about it. You can't have a double mind.
First off, a lot of us don't know to put God first. But we don't want to put God first, so we want to still put ourselves before Him, but want Him to be there for us and want Him to watch over us and protect us and guide us this way. Well, how are you going to ask Him to guide you when you're in front of Him? You know what I mean? You guide Him. He looking like this. You my child. Right? So I'm finna, you know, go and bless those who opening up their self so it can be like a closet putting a coat in. It's empty until you put that coat in. And that coat in is occupied.
Right.
If He can't occupy you, it's just like what I do. Without playing events, I play in that backpack. You don't even know who I am.
Right.
So that's not my. I don't have to be. Hey, this I did this. Do this. I don't have to be that because what? I'm doing things that need to be done and don't worry about the credit. See, a lot of people want to be. Oh man, want to be credit. I take credit for this. I take credit. I did this. Mm-hmm. And
and God was an unselfish God. So how y'all can, if you want to be like him,
right.
So where did selfish come from?
Right.
Where did not loving your brother come from? Well, you know.
I do want to add to that, though, you know, since we're talking about Memphis being city of the dead and we having all these churches around here, I remember 8 years ago I went into the Yellow Pages and I counted, and this is in a Christian realm, I counted 88 different Christian denominations here in the city alone. Now
what year?
Huh?
What year was this?
This was 2005.
Okay.
That I see that I had 2005, 2006, one of those.
Yeah.
But you know, that we have a lot of Christians or Christian churches here, but yet we have other religious organizations like the Buddhists and the Jewish folks and some of the Catholics and some others. And you know, and of course the theme is kept being brought up about, you know, put God first and, you know, people need to return back to God. But then again, God means different things to different people,
mm-hmm.
you know, based upon religion or just based upon life experiences. And so it's like, how can a city or a community just be really united, you know, when it comes to God, but yet there's different opinions about God?
See, I think it starts, and God does it for me, but God has always did it for me, but it wasn't until I knew of my self-worth. And see, you can sign up for Butterfly Evolution, you can sign up for Evo, you can sign up, you can go put your name, say, I love God, Jesus, whatever it is. Until you love yourself, you can't even receive whatever religion that you go for. But see, how can you not love yourself and you see yourself, you've been with yourself from birth, and then love something that you cannot see. Forget about your brother and the neighbor. If you don't know who you are, if you don't come to some self-identification and some self-awareness about your junk, about your stuff, and say, okay, I see who I am. I also see who I no longer want to be, and what do I have to do to change the way I feel about me to bring value and self-worth to myself? Until then, you can listen to Butterfly Evolution every Monday, every day, and whomever, and pray and read your Bible. But until you know that you love you, you won't even know how much God loves you, whoever your God is. So even before that, you only get so far, and then you're going to have to come back to a point of, who am I?
Back to self.
It starts with self, and it comes back to self.
Right.
God can't help you unless you know who you are. He could snap his finger and do it instantly. But if you think you are worth nothing, even when he shows you you're worth something, if you don't change that mindset and say, I am, I can be, because, you're going to come right back to your place. You're going to run that hamster race.
Because we like this. See how I'm sitting down on this ground. Until we sit in flat level, we ain't going to come up to try to figure nothing else out. Because as we look at it, we doing fine on our own. How we doing? Mm-hmm. But sometimes you got to shake your foundation. And like I told one person, I was like, you asking God to change your life, to turn everything around. Okay. He blow your whole world up. And he put you in this tornado-type stage where everything's flying around you and he blindfolds you. Now you reaching out. It's good and bad that's spinning around, but you reaching out, you blind. You really don't know. That's not what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to let him put in you what needs to go in you. Now we reaching, by you reaching, you're gonna get that no good dude or that no good girl that you trying to get rid of. But you just brought him back in your life. You just brought him back in your life. But you asking God to change. You asking him to change, turn you around. That's why I say we ask for a lot of stuff. Here, we wanna be equal, we wanna have a fair job, we wanna make more money, more minimum wage. But what you doing about it? You know, you asking, he blowing it up. Why they try to hit you with the drug test for the benefits. You know what I mean? Who came up with that? Because the same people writing the laws, they getting high and drinking and doing everything else, but just because we put them in office, they higher than us. I'm a what they call it, whatever phrase they call it, I don't remember. But that's what I'm saying. We here, like you say, vote.
Mm-hmm.
We ain't going to pay attention to this him against him.
Mm-hmm.
Not who going to go up to be that him against him. We just waiting for this. Okay, vote tomorrow.
So they're going to spread out whatever they got left to you.
When you do work, clock out. Go home. You know, they might work you 12-hour one day. You don't work no more for the rest of the week. But
you have to find out. We got to start, and I'm getting ready to do a series on creating something, starting your own business, and then supporting one another. Supporting one another. Remove them out.
To come to their point, when I went to locksmith school 10 years ago, they thought I was a fool. I was working at the Marriott downtown, making good money. I want to get my own business. I go to school. The other guys, instead of wanting to work for themselves, they told me, I'm going to work for Papa Lock. I'm going to go, man, y'all come work for me. If that's y'all mentality.
Right.
To go to school like that, I said, look, I got a 2-year contract agreement. I'll supply all your tools, but you can't leave until 2 years. They wanted to go, you go through all this knowledge to understand the ins and outs of locksmith, to work for somebody else and still get half of what you take in.
Right.
Man, that don't make no sense. So, because of, like she said, a lot of people scared of it because everything you do ain't going, like she say, ain't going to happen like this. My stuff didn't click off until 2-3 years after that. But what? It's where I'm recognizable now. And here, ads in the paper, people know I do locksmith. But it didn't happen
overnight
just because, okay, I do this and that. So I speak to everybody. No, it don't work like this.
But
we're so afraid to try and to try things. You know, that's just like learning how to swim. You'd be afraid to put your toe in the water.
Mm-hmm.
But once you see how much fun it is and you learn how to do it, it's the wintertime you're ready to hit a pool.
It's no different when you live in a pool. People will drown and all you got to do is stand up.
Right.
In 3 feet of water. Like, you don't even realize if you just stand up, you could breathe. But you got to first, and they got to realize too, you could go work for someone every day all your life and they can shut down. You can show up for work. And it be gone just like that.
No. I done rekeyed
just like that.
$1 million houses where I be, you get a little nose. You like, well, they couldn't pay the mortgage. Oh, but they want to run. They get a little bonus money or get a little money. They want to run to the $1 million house. And just come call me and change these locks so I can get my $300. You know what I mean? I ain't running out there without getting some money. I'm going to get somewhere comfortable. I'm going to be cool. But that's what we do. Most of the time, it's the white realtors and black occupiers. Now, I ain't going to just say it's no white people like that, too, but they do things much harder because they know the behind-the-scenes way of doing it.
See, that's why it's important that to think about where we are today. Don't think we just happen to be in this real estate market just happened to fall. Don't think that people were allowed to buy houses that people knew they could not afford. Don't think it just happened.
Yeah,
that did not just happen. That was all they say what they want to say, deny. That was a design plan. And the design plan is still being planned, working on the next phase of it. It did not just happen.
And there's all the thing behind that. Like, I worked for a builder in Memphis during that time. Learned a real estate situation. It was good, but it was starting to fall, and he started to pull. And, you know, I talked to the man to give me a house, free of charge. I said, anybody want to know about any property ceremony, any property in East Memphis, you got to ceremony, I'll be your property master pretty much. And when I got to doing these lease purchases, he was building these lease purchases in Wooddale High School. And I got to looking at the paper, and I'm like, hold on, these people are going to pay. They put down
$24,000.
They got to tell them they put down $24,000, man, for a lease purchase, which means that $4,000 that they just put down, at the end of the year, when they lease it up, they get to see if they qualify. And if they don't qualify, they lose their money. That $4,000. It was crazy because when I looked at it and I was talking to people and I was being upfront, I'm like, you know, if after a year, if you don't, you know, if your score is not good enough for you to get a lender, then, you know, you lose that money.
yeah, okay, I'm gonna do it because I'm okay, and you know it's gonna be all right. Well, you look, you go to that same subdivision right now, and all them houses, he sold. But most of the people that live in that community don't live there now. And that was what? This is 13 goes back in 04. So you're talking about, what, 9 years ago? Them people should still be in the house. Them people are not in them houses, man. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why I say it's important. It's very important that we understand the things that we are passionate about, because in understanding your passion, you learn how you can just make money just by doing something that you love to do. It's never worked to you because you learn how to do that. And see, there's another company that's going to be born. It's going to be called Random Ventures. And we're going to be set up kind of like a staffing agency, but more of a long-term situation. And here's the thing. For whatever contract that we're going to secure, which means that when I say we, I mean the think tank, you know, we'll take hat and the person that's doing the work on take hat. That's how we're going to set up, because I want people, me personally, I want people to know that they can live and not just get by. I'm talking about actually being where you know, people are not vacation. You can't even take a vacation now. I'm serious. You can't even take a vacation.
So we can start there?
Yes.
I mean, really, we can start there.
Like that is a, that's how we all met, or I met a lot of you guys, was because we came together with the Memphis United group, because the Klan, you know, came here and we took something that was really terrible and like traumatic for our city, and we're able to turn it into something that, you know, I think has been beneficial and positive and moved us forward.
And Memphis United is gearing that up?
Yeah, Memphis United is kind of hosting that event. It's
good. Yeah. It's good.
Well, piggyback off Lawrence, I just say ditto what Lawrence said, pretty much. And making our city, and becoming a unified city, we have to put God first, point blank, period. And there can't be any hesitation or reservations about this. This is a fight, and this fight is not for the weak at heart. It's for the strong. And so in order for us to take back our city and raise up our brothers and our sisters, we have to put God first. And like I said, come together, get out, go to community events. But most importantly, we have to examine ourselves daily. And try to have a relationship with God, you guys. God simply wants acknowledgement, you know, and I think everybody in this room has a relationship with God. You know, I often tell people that being on the Eternal Book of Life is not about having a relationship with me. It's about you having a space where you can connect with God and share your spiritual thoughts and feelings and hopefully encourage somebody else and lift them up as well as be lifted up. You know, and I think this would be a great venue to do it on. I don't Facebook any longer. Haven't did that thing since August or September of last year. But, you know, I definitely like to extend an invitation to you guys to join, put your groups up, get people involved. Let's get some revenue coming into the city. This is going to be an immediate thing for us. The more people we can get to using the site and things like that, we can create revenue. And as you guys know, I'm here for the city. I'm in it for the long haul, you know, so that's what it is.
I want to say, just to start off, we're talking about the city as dead. We need to remember that we have a population with a lot of people, but it's not a lot of individuals. And individuals are what start businesses. Individuals are what start organizing, community organizing. And that's what's most important. We have to, as far as, like, understanding, trying to tell people who God is, because the church is not doing it, point blank. They're not doing it. So if we're trying to explain who God is or what spirituality means, we have to be able to relate to people in a way that they'll understand. So spirituality can consist of knowledge, love, peace, unity. And if we show people that through our organizing, through our commitment to this cause, then we will be effective by all costs. And then it's like when Memphis United started, when the Klan came down, it was like it sparked something in somebody's head, like, this is just too much. Like, our city doesn't deserve this. It shouldn't take something that big for us to call for change. It should take the little stuff, like the everyday things. We should be everyday concerned about the issues of Memphis. Once we get to that point, then we get more and more people to be concerned about the everyday issues, then we'll be moving towards the change.
Yeah, for me, for the City of the Dead, I really encourage people to, and this is something that I'm doing myself currently, is to really follow what your passion is and to do what you really like to do. I can't stress that enough because eventually, you know, a person like me, I just got tired of being in the same place that I was in all these years. I'm like, look, I gotta make a change. I gotta make some. I gotta change the way I think, and I have to keep rolling with that and being around other people and changing your environment of the people that you're with. If they're not for you with what you like to do and for who you are, just being you, then you need to get away from them immediately. They're not your friend. I mean, even if they're your family member, you need to just spend less time with them. I'm just going to be blunt about it. I don't care if it's your father, your mother who's acting crazy towards you, or your sister, your brother, your cousin, whoever. You need to spend less time with them because they're not doing you any good for you. And so, yeah, I just highly encourage people to start thinking. Do some critical thinking. When I mean critical thinking, I'm talking about ask. Not you already know the who, what, when, where, but ask yourself how and why. There's nothing wrong with why, but do some critical thinking about yourself. Do some self-examination about yourself as far as where you want to go in your life, not someone else's life, but with your life. And I highly encourage people to do that.
Well, all I can say is all we need to do is stop acting like there's skeletons in the closet. You know, only come out when somebody opens the door. You know, because can't nothing get done if we're afraid to do something. You know what I mean? You're afraid to let people know what you do because you don't want them to open their door. But just put their skin on and get to work. It's simple. Just like you go to work and it might not be in your job description to wipe this table down, but your boss tell you to wipe this table down, but you go over there and wipe this table down. You know, it's not nothing that when you can't get the job, okay, all you be doing is emailing and filing. Now you done got into the trash and wiping down, so you just got to just pick ourselves up. And even though we might not be where we see other people in and we feel like we supposed to be where this person is, and that's where most of our discouragement come from, because our peers might have this and we don't have it. But you got to think about what that person has done or is doing to get and have what they have. Everything can't come by, I don't have a job, they're going to send me some money next week, or they're going to put food on my table once a month. It got to be the hard work that you do, you know what I mean? The getting dirty, the doing things that normal people don't want to do but afraid to go through the trials and tribulations. Because I always say, if God went through all that, who are we to not want to go through all that to get to the point or the purpose that we supposed to achieve? So we ain't no better than God, so I feel like the cause that we doing, fighting for equal rights and all this, shouldn't be no problem. So if we want to be a better city and get on a better stage of the world, it has to start with us. You know, don't plant the seed and don't put no water on it and put it in the house and don't give it no light or no sun. The topics that you want to talk about, let it be known. Go to the people that can say something and afraid of their job or the votes because, oh, this person is speaking out on this too much. I got to do something about this. Like you say, put pressure on them and pressure bust pipes, so eventually they're going to bust. Now, whatever come out of that pipe, we don't know. But, hey, you're going to see it. So we just put the work in and see the results.
Okay, we're down to about 2 minutes. So this is Tammy. I just want to thank you all for tuning in with us tonight. And to end the show, I say this about being the city of the dead. Before you can answer or conquer anything about Memphis being the city of the dead, you first need to understand or find out if you are a body of the dead, if you have given up on your life, on your passion, on your dreams, if you are hopeless, if you are passing down hopelessness to your children within your home. So it starts with you. Find out, are you, if you are the city of the dead, if you are the body of the dead, if you are contributing to Memphis being the city of the dead, because in order for Memphis to be the city of the dead, then we have to have people walking around that are already dead. And so it starts in your home. It starts with your self-worth, your love for yourself. There is nothing you can do. We've talked a lot about God here, and I wrote down, what does it mean to, what does putting God first mean? And that's a question you have to answer for yourself. Putting yourself second also, but I still take it back to you. If you don't love yourself, you don't know that God loves you. And a lot of people have lost that. They don't see themselves as God sees them. They don't see God as their creator. Because if you don't love yourself, you've already missed that God mark. You've missed it. Can he bring that back? Absolutely. But you're going to get back to a, you don't see yourself as God sees you. So, see, there's enough churches beating that, but they're not teaching people how to do that, how to put God first, how to love yourself. If you just putting God first, we need to start explaining what that means to people. And sometimes it's hard to put God first. It's like hungry children coming to school. They tell the school teachers, you could teach this all day, but if they hungry, they're going to be hungry tonight.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't hear what say you
yeah,
close
like,
out.
We consider God, like, in church, like, we're taught the words of the Bible. So that's fine. That's good. It's good to read your Bible, study your Bible. The problem is the God that most people serve is not, like, universal. It's like he's not a universal creator. They don't understand these qualities that God has that can move, you know, move the universe and cause change. Like I was saying, prayer, love, peace, unity, justice, even justice. That's all a part of God. We have to consider all of those as traits of a God. And that's the problem. Pastors don't bring that out. They definitely don't walk the talk.
And they're not seeing people do that. And what we have to realize, God is just not a religion in your life. God changes your life. A relationship changes your life. And so, again, people have this nagging hunger for something. And I think that, I think we can keep going, but they just won't hear it on there. But that alone, this nagging hunger leaves people feeling dead because everything they try, they feel unsuccessful.
It's a void.
Yeah, there is a void there that only that can give. Right, right. And so, and then when we come back to us, they don't see us so-called Christians. You know, how can I call myself Christian and not be moved by so many people being homeless right in my city?
Exactly.
And I got two rooms right here. God convicted me, so you talking about going to buy some food, and you got freeze out there with some food you just don't want to cook. People hungry. You need to learn. We need to be content and happy and understand that if I got food in there today, I shouldn't worry about tomorrow. See who's hungry today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about going to the grocery store getting more because I don't have a taste for what's out there. Somebody just got a taste for food.
You're getting good.
You know? And how can I sleep knowing that? So, we'll end it there.